Hello, Evergreen and online friends. Wherever you are, so glad you're with us. It's week 6 of 8 ways to be happy. And I'm here to report that I found the answer to happiness 2 weeks ago. Well, at least for my daughter, Hillary. Last year, before COVID hit, my daughter and I planned a birthday trip to Disneyland, one of her favorite places. And it landed on the weekend that the complete shutdown started in April. So, like many of you, we canceled our flights, hotel, and dreams of fun and waited. Since we didn't get to go and do it, and it was our birthday gift, we decided to try again in February 2021, just a few weeks ago. This time, the recipe for happiness did not include the happiest place on earth. My daughter was ready for sunshine, relaxing by a pool with good books, eating food she did not have to prepare, and yes, maybe even some spa and shopping time. Okay, moms, you know, if you're homeschooling your kids and working at a job like she is as a kids pastor, that's what it'll do to you. So off to Arizona we went. My favorite word that she repeated multiple times was dreamy, as in, this is dreamy. You know, the happiness that Jesus describes for us in Matthew 5 is different than the dreamy my daughter and I enjoyed. It's not dependent on our preferences, circumstances, resources, or what we do or don't get to do. Each week, we have discovered that the way to happiness that Jesus describes is counterintuitive to what we know and have regularly reinforced about happiness in our culture. This week, we look at Matthew 5:8, where Jesus says, "Happy are the pure in heart, for they will see God." When I hear the word pure, I think of water, and specifically the first time I filled a glass of water from the tap in our Los Angeles home. I looked at the glass and thought to myself, should there really be particles in this? And isn't it supposed to be clear instead of this yellowish? I took a sip and knew right away that we would be using some sort of purifier before I drink that water again. Which brings me to my Life Straw water bottle. I love this thing. I can take this on a hike or to another country, like our adopted village in Guatemala or to Uganda when I see Lori Dickerson. And I can put water directly from a stream or a well or a jug into it and drink it through this filtering straw and know it will come out on the other end pure and ready to drink without causing any ill effects in my body. Now, friends, I like that part of the word pure. But maybe you're like me and just hearing the words pure heart can make you feel guilty. I mean, what about the fight that I had with Jared the last full day of vacation and didn't resolve until the next day? More on that later. Or what about the jealousy that I felt over something that someone else got to do? What about the judgments that I made about a person that I'd told Jesus I was going to show mercy to, like Carlos talked about last week? How about when I felt unappreciated by some of the people I love, and instead of taking my thoughts captive like Jesus asked us to, I ran with them? Friends, those are just moments from the past few weeks in my life. Don't check out early on me, because I have good news. Jesus is committed to our one messy life, and he has us covered inside and out. And according to him, happiness is an inside job. So before we go any further, would you join me in being vulnerable about your own challenges to a pure heart in the past couple of weeks? Take a moment to reflect on this past week or two. Then post which glass of water represents your heart today. And the first two people to post will receive a Life Straw water bottle like this. And when you're finished posting, would you take a moment and just share your response with the people you're with? It's a part of being vulnerable. It's to be able to share the stuff in our life where that's not fixed yet, that's not real clean. Would you do that? Let's explore what Jesus is saying here. Happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What does Jesus mean when he says pure in heart? There are two schools of thought about this. One is that Jesus is speaking of our inner purity as opposed to our outward behaviors that may appear pure or right or moral. So a pure heart refers to the thoughts and intentions or motives behind what we do or say. Now, the other school of thought is that Jesus is talking about an undivided heart. So our wholeheartedness, both all of our heart working together toward a common direction. Integrity is another word for that. To be undivided, to be fully devoted, to be unmixed. The truth is, you can't have one without the other. Pure means both clean and undivided. When it comes to pure, it's what's inside that counts. Jesus had just healed a blind mute man who was demon-possessed, and the religious leaders were saying that Jesus had done this by the power of the devil, by the power of demons. Well, he was not too happy. Here's what he said. "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." Our words are an expression of our heart. They reveal to anyone who's hearing them what is in our heart. In Matthew 15, Jesus takes it even further. He says, our actions are also an expression of our heart, not just our words, but our deeds. Here's what he said. "But the things that come out of a person's mouth," Jesus said, "come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands," which is really important to the religious leaders, "does not defile them," Jesus said. Now in Matthew 7, he says it another way. "Likewise," Jesus said, "every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit." So whatever's in your heart produces what you do and say. To be pure in heart means to be single-minded in our devotion, undivided. Integrity is the word we mentioned earlier. Living a life that is transparent before God and with people. It means that the private and the public versions of us will match up. You know, Tom was at Home Depot getting some sod for his backyard. Any of you done that? We have. He had a dead area he wanted to replace. He counted and he needed about 22 pieces. The sod was all out in front of the store, so you just had to load it up yourself. So he backed his car up, started loading the sod in, counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. About halfway through, he thought, "I might need 24 pieces instead of the 22 that I thought." And he started worrying that he was not getting enough, but he didn't want to go back in the store and pay for them again and then have to come back out. So he started looking around thinking, "Who's going to notice if I take 2 extra pieces while I'm doing this? No one's going to notice." Then he looked down and thought, "There's just going to be a few pieces left in this load anyway. They're going to die out here in the hot sun. It's not going to hurt anybody if I take a couple extra pieces." All of a sudden, in one of those aha moments, the perspective hit him. He heard his thoughts out loud. He started laughing in the parking lot. He thought, "The integrity issue I'm facing here is God or sod. Which one of these am I going to choose in this moment? Am I going to give up my integrity, my wholeheartedness, for a square of dirt? Is that what I'm going to do?" Out of the heart flows everything we do or say. And this is why God cares so much about our heart. In fact, he says it is top priority, and he gives us some responsibility for it. He gave these words of wisdom in Proverbs 4:23. "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." So I ask myself, how can I be pure in heart? You know, I gave you my executive summary of my own heart the past couple of weeks, and it had some dirt in it. And isn't that what we all realize when we read about being pure in heart? That's an impossible standard. I'm never going to get there. But God knows our struggle. That's why he had the prophet Jeremiah write, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond all cure. Who can understand it?" And implied in that was that only God can purify our hearts. You know, when God's people were living life on their own terms, that means doing what they wanted to do, and they had hard hearts toward him, this was his promise to them in the middle of that. He said, "I'll sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." But God knew at that time that the big fix was still to come. He knew that those people and all of us to follow afterwards would mess up, that our hearts would be hardened by sin, that we'd go our own way. But God had a plan to send his one and only son, Jesus, to pay the price for our sin. And the price for sin is pretty clear. The wages of sin, the price of sin is death. And Jesus came to take care of that once and for all, literally for the entire world, to offer complete forgiveness of our sins, past, present, and future. The only answer for an impure heart is relationship with Jesus. John writes in 1 John, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." When we live in authentic relationship with Jesus day by day, he cleanses us from all impurities. King David, who wrote many of the Psalms, was called by God a man after his own heart. Yet he was also a deeply flawed individual, somebody who committed adultery, somebody who had a husband murdered of the woman that he had the affair with. You ask yourself, so what distinguished him as a man after God's own heart? He understood that God was the only one who could fix his heart. And when he messed up, he acknowledged it, sometimes with a little help from his friends, just like we need. And he asked God to clean up his heart. It was after this affair and the follow-up murder of the husband that David prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." So part two of my fight with Jared toward the end of our vacation. You know what we had fought about? Jared had received 3 emails in the previous 24 hours that I felt should have been sent to both of us. And I told him I was going to talk to the worst offender in this practice, my perception, of course, on the list, about including me moving forward in the emails. And he advised me. He said, "Oh, don't do that, Annie." Probably wise advice in my then current state of agitation, I have overlooked this very same behaviors on many other occasions without any rants or agitation. But this time, I was not happy. Now, when I say that to all of you, it seems a bit blown out of proportion to me. But what did I do? As you can imagine, I tromped off to the bedroom and I read on the bed and eventually I went to sleep. But I have to tell you, I didn't sleep well after going to bed, still angry. I woke up at 4 a.m., hit the coffee button, and started my time with Jesus. And the first thing I did was just acknowledge God's presence. Sitting there with him, I became aware that this fight with Jared was about some things going on in my heart. Feelings of being ignored or overlooked or not valued. And he brought me to Luke 12, verses 6 and 7, where it says, "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows." And this is what I heard him say to me from that. "Anne, you are known and loved by me. You are not forgotten. You are known by me down to the smallest details. You are valued by me, and you can rest in this secure place. Wow. I acknowledged my anger toward Jared and my focus on Jared's words instead of my own, pointing the finger at him instead of looking at my own heart. And that, friends, is all that Jesus asks of us. He does all the heavy lifting when our hearts are troubled and impure. He purifies our hearts. He forgives. He restores. He softens our hearts and turns them back toward Him. We remember that we are deeply loved children who is always, and He is always calling us to Him, wanting to show us His love. And just like our own children, when they've disobeyed or done something wrong, we have to fight the urge to run away from Him, certain that punishment is all that awaits. Instead, what we find is grace and mercy. And we are reminded the blood of Jesus purifies us from all our sin. Our hearts are clean and undivided again. Happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's end with this wonderful promise and a bit of reflection. The pure in heart will see God. That's Jesus' promise with this. To see someone indicates nearness. The promise is that the pure in heart will see God. That means that they're near to God, that they'll be close enough to see Him, to be aware of His presence, to know what He's up to, and to experience the goodness of God in whatever moment we find ourselves in. Now, Psalm 15 is this wonderful description of the person who gets to enjoy God's presence. I want you to just hear these words, and at the end, I want you to tell me what you feel when you hear them. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts, and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. Okay, how did that make you feel? Post that if you will. Now I want to share with you what I remember from reading this and meditating on it. One of the early times, it's when my kids were little, and I wrote about this in a journal, is why it's so memorable for me, because I remember feeling like, whoa, that leaves me out. I mean, those things are never going to always be true of me until I see Jesus. This side of heaven, I'm lost. In fact, I couldn't think of anybody in my sphere of relationships who would be included. We all fall short in some way. But then it came to me, the thought that it's Jesus that makes the difference. And these many years ago, I wrote this song to the Lord. Who may stand in your courts, O Lord? Who may dwell with you there? The one who is washed, the one who is cleansed in the precious blood of the Lamb. So wash me, Lord, cleanse me, Lord, take away every trace of sin. Wash me, Lord, cleanse me, Lord, make me whole within. You see, that's what Jesus does for us. The happiest people are those who live with nothing to hide, who pursue Jesus with wholehearted devotion and just keep coming back to Him like King David did with the same invitation. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. So friends, Jesus is our life straw. In fact, I'm going to put some of this dirty water into my life straw bottle. And I'm going to take a big sip. And it takes a minute. Pure water. Well, it's dirty in the bottle, but when it comes through the life of Jesus. You see, He is our life straw. When I come to Him and receive from Him, He filters out all the impurities, and I get to experience His goodness, just like I did after my fight with Jared. So, friends, let Jesus be your life straw. Would you take a few moments now and consider your own heart? Is there anything you need to come to Jesus with today? Any place you need His forgiveness, that you need the filter of His life to make you clean and whole again? Would you take a few moments now and talk with Him about it, and then we'll pray. So let's pray together. Jesus, we bring our hearts to You and we invite You, purify our hearts, cleanse us, Lord, just as You promised to. We admit, Lord, that we do have our one messy life, but what we're going to do today and every day this week is we're just going to keep running to You when we recognize the impurities, when we see that things have gotten a little messy, a little off Your path. And we're going to bring that to You and let You filter that out of our lives. And we thank You for Your Holy Spirit who makes us aware of the dirt that's going on in our heart so that we can do that. Thank You, Jesus, for being the ultimate life straw. In Jesus' name, amen.